Good morning. That's our cue to get started and not to rush into it, but I always kind of find, I think I speak for most teachers, we find ourselves wanting to get a lot of things said in a short amount of time. Need to be careful because I don't want to talk too fast or rush through things. So don't hesitate to give me some good old brotherly and sisterly feedback on how I can do things better. I think I speak for Brendan too and any other teachers. We always welcome your feedback on how we can be more effective as teachers, so please do that. In fact, coachable is going to be a word we're going to bring up today, and I think I speak for Brendan and myself. I think we consider ourselves to be coachable. We definitely look for that in others. And we'll, if you haven't heard that word before, we'll, it's kind of related to stiff-necked that we're going to get into here in a little bit as we talk about hearing. Our study this month, See, Hear, Understand, and Turn. And we'll get that first slide up here in a moment. But we're looking at the passages where that is found, of course, beginning with Isaiah. Today, Matthew is the passage we're going to go to. So if you'd like to go ahead and turn to Matthew 13, great, great passage as Jesus talks about not only the purpose of the parables, but he gives a parable, one of my favorites, and then goes on to explain that parable after he talks about the purpose of the parables and talks about this particular passage that he quotes from Isaiah that we first looked at last Sunday. So I would encourage you, obviously we don't have enough time. Anytime you get into a study of God's scripture, I think what we typically have 40, 45 minutes of a morning like this. And when you think of passages that we're going to be looking at, that's why it's so important that you be a student yourselves. And we encourage you to study daily. So take these passages. I'm going to be giving you several this morning. But these key passages that we're looking at with Isaiah last Sunday and Matthew today, and then next week as we think about the word understand, the passage in John toward the end of Jesus' ministry as he talks about this scripture again from Isaiah. And then Paul at the end of Acts, we'll look at the following Sunday as we think about the word turn. So I encourage you to study those passages on your own and the other scriptures that we'll be looking at. Before we get started, I ask Eddie to pass out some index cards. If you already have got one or already turned in one, you can just tell Eddie no thanks. But the purpose of the card is for you to write any input, any ideas that you might have for our adult Bible classes. In September, we're going to start some new classes. So would like your input. Already had some cards turned in with some good ideas and appreciate those so much. And of course, I know you guys can multitask. Or you probably, I'm not asking you to do this during class, but you could probably listen to class and have ideas at the same time. But take it with you. Write some ideas down and get it to me, please, in the next week or two as we plan for adult Bible classes moving forward into September. Before we get into our lesson this morning, I have prayer requests. I've asked John Davis will lead us in prayer this morning. I haven't heard anything since our last email. I didn't receive any updates this morning on Dennis Smith. Anyone know anything from yesterday or today on Dennis? Anything still in the hospital? Okay, so Dennis Smith, we want to remember him. Leona called me last night and wanted me to pass on to you, if you didn't see Bob and Leona this morning, not to worry, they decided to stay at home. She's having some more problems with her inflammation, so they decided to stay in this morning. So she wanted me to let you guys know, so when you were seeing that they weren't here, that you wouldn't worry too much more. So let's remember Bob and Leona in our prayers as well. Any others? Chase? Yeah, yeah. I think we've all probably heard about the fires in Maui, and the death toll continues to climb there. And Chase's dad, John, upcoming eye surgery for Chase's dad. Any others? I'll let Eddie kind of finish up here. No rush. I'd be thinking of other prayer requests that we might have as he finishes those up. But idea on the cards, ideas for adult Bible classes, thoughts, ideas in terms of subjects and teachers, and we're going to have some new classes coming up in September as we get through August, which of course is coming pretty quick, isn't it? As we're in the middle of August now. Thanks, Eddie. Any other prayer requests? Okay, let's all bow our heads together then as John leads us in prayer.
Our God and our Father in heaven, we want to thank you so very much for this day that we have to come together in your name. We want to thank you for this time we have to be in class. We ask that you be with us as we study. Help us to take into account everything that's said. Help us to study on our own as hard as we can. Help us to look to your word daily. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for your Son. We want to thank you for the ability we have to look to your word. Heavenly Father, there are those among us that we would like to keep in our prayers, and that would include Brother Dennis, Sister Leona. We'd also like to ask that you be with Chase's dad and be with all those who are experiencing trouble in Maui. We ask that you be with them. They have been hit pretty hard, and we ask that you give them the strength and hope. Heavenly Father, help us to go out daily to be your people and to show others what it means to look to you. We ask that you be with us as a family here at Watermill. Help us to go forward and to project your word. Heavenly Father, be with us as we go throughout this day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, John. This past week, in our daily Bible reading, Proverbs chapter 2 on Wednesday. It's going to be that next slide. My son, if you receive my word, think about see, hear, understand, and turn as I read this passage. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Proverbs 2, 1 through 5. So, of course, great passage, especially related to our study this month. Isaiah, go ahead, Matthew 13. I told you to turn there. Keep your spot there and maybe flip back to Isaiah 6. And we're not going to, of course, repeat too much of what we said last Sunday as we studied see and the eye in regards to this phrase, this passage. But just wanted to remind us that it began, of course, with Isaiah when he saw the vision of the Lord and the effect, of course, that had on him. We're so familiar with when Isaiah went through that experience and seeing the Lord. And the Lord asked, who can I send? And Isaiah immediately, of course, said, here am I, send me, a phrase that we're very familiar with and we often refer to, especially in terms of evangelism and missionaries and that kind of thing. But what we're focused on is then what the Lord goes on to tell Isaiah to share with the people. And, of course, Isaiah is going to the people to get them to understand that they've fallen away from God and to come back to Him, as of course all the prophets did. And so just wanted to kind of briefly remind us of that beginning with that phrase that we're studying as Jesus uses it in toward the beginning of His ministry and then at the end of His ministry, and then Paul uses it at the end of Acts. Isaiah, of course, remember, means Jehovah saves, or I think Yahweh means salvation as well. And then, of course, this Isaiah began his prophecy at 740 B.C., in 740 B.C., when King Uzziah, the year King Uzziah died. And remember, we talked about Uzziah when he became strong, he grew proud. And also remember, even Isaiah said, woe to me, when he saw the Lord, when he saw the vision of the Lord, woe to me, after, of course, in chapter 5 in Isaiah, he pronounced the woes on the sins of Judah. So just kind of remember, that's kind of our background as we get into this. And then our guiding questions for this morning, in other words, just questions to kind of think about as we go through our study. Can we see but not hear? I'm going to pause for just a moment. And of course, I'm not talking about physically. As we studied seeing last Sunday, can we see and not hear? When you see, sure we can. When you see the sunrise or the sunset, what are you hearing? Yeah, the glory of the Lord, seeing God and hearing. Or that's what He wants us to do when we see those kind of things. And of course, and I just stop and pause for a moment, just remember how much we can take for granted if we're not careful of all the things that we see in God's creation and not be listening when we do that. So, but think about that question some more as we go through our study. And of course, the apostles asked Jesus there in Matthew 13. Go ahead and turn on to Matthew 13 then. We'll have a lot of scripture. I'm not going to ask you to flip back and forth, so we'll kind of pretty much stay in 13. But at the beginning of 13, Jesus tells a parable. One of His parables He tells is the parable of the sower. One of my favorites, and I'm sure it's probably one of yours too. And then after that parable, the disciples came, in verse 10, the disciples came and said to Him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And then, of course, He asked, He begins the answer in verse 11 with, "To you has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." So one of the things we're going to look at is that difference between you and them. What separated you and them? Those who want to seek Him and those who don't. In other words, who does Jesus want to seek Him? Everyone. Okay, everyone. But Jesus goes on to tell them that He's telling them these parables because those that really want to see Jesus and want to seek Him out are going to learn some important lessons from the parables. Those who don't aren't going to see or hear those things, are they? So think about that question as the disciples ask Him, "Why do you speak in parables?" Think about us as we read the parables and what we should be seeing and hearing. And then, of course, what keeps us from hearing God's Word? I want you to think about that question, too, as we go throughout. And there's a lot of scriptures. We won't be able to stop at every scripture. I'll have them up on the screen. I hope I didn't go too low on the font, as we mentioned last week, where you can read them. Definitely encourage you to read them or write them down and study them later. But there's especially several scriptures that give us a lot of insight to what keeps us from hearing God's Word that we're going to look at. So think about that question as well. So how do we hear? How do we hear? You guys helped me with a lot of phrases last week with seeing. I'm going to take just a little different approach this morning on how we hear. Old MacDonald Had a Farm. I bet we could all sing that tune together, couldn't we? Old MacDonald had a farm, ay-yi-yo, and on his farm he had a pig. We'll start with the pig. Well, we're not going to keep singing the song, but E-I-E-I-O with a, okay, with an oink oink here. Okay, so why that song? What does that song do for little children? I saw a lot of smiles on faces. Maybe we ought to start class with Old MacDonald every morning. That's great. Great to see you all, especially your smiling faces. But why that song?
Repetition.
Or repetition. Good. Participation.
Fun.
It's fun. Which then causes more participation, doesn't it?
They see and hear.
See and hear. Yeah, a lot of times, some of you I know as grandparents have given grandkids probably the book that had, you know, the, what you call the pop-up books or whatever that have the animals and maybe even have, you know, they make the books now that you push the button and has the sounds that go with it and that kind of thing. But of course, the hearing, the kids associate the hearing, of course, of the pig and the noise of the pig to what that is, and they learn then what a pig is, what kind of noise it makes. Chase? Yeah. Yeah. Chase says, better to hear with than to see with. And of course, he gave an example of people that are blind, how more attuned their hearing becomes. And I've heard a saying before, God gave us two ears and one mouth so we would listen twice as much, hopefully, as we speak, that kind of thing. So our English language, that next bullet there, I know you've already read all of these, but the next bullet, just want us to think a little bit about our own language. I mean, homonyms, I think they're called, words that mean two different things, like bat could be the winged animal or a baseball bat, and you can just go through that list. We won't take the time to do that. They can mean different things, and of course as we study God's Word, one of the things that's so unique about God's Word and so important that we study, and I think I mentioned to you that the app on your phone or software that you can use, and you can enter a particular word or a particular verse. I know on the app I use, one of the things I use probably the most is I'll click on a scripture and then you have a button at the bottom that says compare. And I can pick whatever versions I want. And I think I've picked King James and New King James and American Standard, New American Standard, English Standard, I think are my list. But you can pick whatever translations you want and hit compare, and it lists that verse in all those translations. And what's special about that, I think, will help you as a student. It helps you see what a particular word might mean, because one of the things that we find in God's Word is the translators, when they've tried to translate the Hebrew or the Greek, it's just hard to get that particular word in our English language, and sometimes it just doesn't do justice. Bill recently mentioned, he often refers to Exodus 34, which is a great example of that, who God is, all the things that God is, and if you look at all those translations, you'll see how all those words can be translated and what they're trying to say that, for example, mercy means. Means more, you know, we think of mercy, but you can throw in compassionate and kind and that kind of thing. So we get a better feel when we study more about what the translators are trying to get across from the original Greek or the original Hebrew. So that's important, too, as we hear. This next one came across, I think it's kind of interesting. If I say excess oil, what comes to your mind? I don't know if you guys will react the same way that I read about or not. This could be interesting. I don't want to get anybody in trouble or not, but what comes to your mind?
Oil leak.
Oil leak. Women, is that what you think of? Okay. Okay. The point I think I read about was typically women would think of oil on their face or on their skin, whereas men would think of an oil leak. Of course, that depends, of course, on the man and woman and their experience, too. Of course, that leads to let's go shopping. Probably a little different reaction when I hear that. I'd probably back off or look for something else that I'm saying I'm needing to do. Whereas some of you might say, yeah, let's go shopping. So, you know, we react to different things as we hear different things in different ways. Of course, hearing and listening, I want us to think about, obviously we understand hearing and listening can be two very different things. Hearing, you're basically just processing the sounds, but listening, as of course we're going to see in the parables, what Jesus wants us to do is do more than just hear what the parable says, but actually listen and learn from it. So why do people hear what they want to hear? And as you can see the long list already, I'm going to go through that pretty quick because we want to make sure we leave ourselves time for the most important part of this lesson, of course, which comes from God's Word. But we hear what we want to hear because it might be easy. Sometimes we just don't want to hear things because it's just hard to hear, isn't it? Comfort, just more comfortable with certain things. I read about a thing called confirmation bias. I just put the word confirm. And that just means what? We hear things that confirm what? What we already believe. Okay? We seek out to listen to things and hear things that kind of line up with our thinking. Chase? Pardon?
Can you
hear me? Good, yeah. I didn't do that on purpose, but can you hear me? Can you hear me? Maybe sometimes as parents we've said the phrase along those lines, are you listening to me? For more reasons than you don't understand what they're trying to say. You just need them to maybe turn up the volume a little bit. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. 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 And then, of course, order in terms of we just want to listen to kind of keep things in order. We don't want anything that will kind of rock our world, so to speak. Subjective, of course. One author I read said everything we hear is subjective on our part. That's an interesting thought. In other words, what we want to hear. And then, of course, selective. You've heard of selective. Yeah, Ron?
Application, I think, is a lot of it, too. It's like, we'll hear something, and if that applies to me, I'll listen. But if I've already kind of goes back to the comfort thing, if I know confirmation, if I already know and I understand and I like what I hear, I'll listen.
Yeah.
But it's an application, is too. It's like, can I really use that information, or is that just
right.
Somebody else flapping
around? Yeah, we have our filters built in pretty good, don't we? And then, of course, that goes in right into the selective hearing, the last one of why do we hear what we want to hear, that selective hearing. I don't know. I'm sure my day's coming one of these days, but I know, I must confess, we had a little humor sometimes when Dad and Mom were older and couldn't hear as well. You think they couldn't hear very well, but then there'd be certain things that they definitely heard. In other words, they selective hearing. They definitely were coming through when you think that maybe they couldn't hear as good as you thought they could. So the parables then. Sure. Yes, yes. Chase mentioned sign language. Courses away, and that's a whole nother, basically, like you said, is a whole nother language to think about. And of course, languages, of course, as Anne goes to Malawi, has an interpreter, and how important that is as far as the interpreter being able to convey the message that you're trying to convey the way that you want it to be delivered. So parables. As I said, Jesus, in the beginning of chapter 13, one of his parables he mentioned, remember back, and I looked this up to make sure I had it right, but Green Valley 2014 I don't know, I've had a few people in here that were at Green Valley in 2014. The theme was Christ, what we all need, and should be all need the most. I left the out, what we all need or all need most. And so we, different things, and in one particular lesson, the parable that we need the most. And Jesus had one in Matthew 22 about the wedding feast. That was the topic or the main parable that we studied that particular day. But as, of course, we talked about parables, here's some things for us to remember. A third of the teaching of Jesus we have in the New Testament should be from parables. He taught more than 35 of them. It's a story of comparison, brings an unrealized moral or spiritual lesson alongside a familiar life experience for the purpose of teaching, forces hearers to pass judgment on things that they know about and then transfer that judgment to some truth to which they have been blind, and they help us to see ourselves and enable us to see life and God as they really are. So as Jesus taught the parables, of course, as we're going to talk more about hearing, we can clearly see as you listen to a parable, you're either looking at yourself in the mirror, or you're not. I think too often, if we're not careful, we might be looking at parables and thinking about somebody else, but they're for us. We need to, as we read the parables and study those, Jesus is telling us to look at ourselves in that light. And of course, Matthew 13, as Jesus then quotes the passage from Isaiah, and then he goes on to explain the parable of the sower. Of course, as he explains it, key phrase there is, this is the one who hears the word. And then what? And then, of course, it goes on the different possibilities. Verse 19, when anyone hears the word, the kingdom does not understand it. The evil one comes, snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. Verse 20, as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. Verse 22, and as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. And then verse 23, as for what was sown in good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. Understands is our key word for next week. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. So that's kind of what we're going to look at the rest of our class, is then how do we respond to hearing the word? What's going to keep us from hearing it as God wants us to, and to bear fruit as God wants us to from what we hear from him? So then our key passage is Matthew 13, 13 through 16, as Jesus quotes the passage from Isaiah that we first looked at last week. And it's referenced, of course, in Mark and Luke. The one in John that we're going to look at, Jesus talks about something else that we're going to focus on next week as far as believing, understanding, that we're going to go to next week from the Gospel of John. But here in Matthew 13, in regards to the parables, Jesus says, this is why I speak to them in parables when the disciples ask him, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. So basically two groups of people then. The ones that see and hear what Jesus is trying to get them to see and hear, and then the ones, for whatever reason, that we're going to look at some of those reasons, don't. Okay, so the remainder of our class, we're going to First start, of course, how did we start this last week when we looked at C and the I? We begin with who? We begin with God. The phrase I like from one of these passages was, "No God besides you." In fact, David, as you kind of move your way down, I hope you can read that okay. Might be a little small from a distance. But David, in his prayer to God from 1 Chronicles, "There is none like you, O Lord, and there is no God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears." So David is praying to God, and he's determined, with all we've heard, there's no doubt, no God besides you. So I want us to begin there. And of course, you can kind of read through. Like I said, I probably shouldn't take the time to read these. I know you can read them yourselves. But just a couple as we go through this list. Of course, "He who has ears, let him hear." Jesus uses quite a bit, especially as he's teaching the parables. Reminds people, use those ears for what God intended for you to use them for. And then, of course, the passage in Revelation that's repeated over and over again to the seven churches to hear and hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And then in Job, "Keep listening to my words, let my declaration be in your ears." So again, recognizing who God is and what he has done for us. And when we stop and think of who God is, we should kind of be on the edge of our seat, so to speak, to listen to everything he has to say through his, and that, of course, is only through his word that we can know that. From Psalm, "Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth." And again, I want us to focus on this particular point about simply who God is reason enough for us to be very attentive, to incline our ears to him. And then that last one there on the screen, "And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth." Of course, God's given us in our physical forms to have ears and eyes so that we can see and hear. But who God is, of course, has to do with his righteousness and his judging and his equity for all of us. So now let's stop for a moment as we recognize that great, great truth. What keeps us from doing that? And there's definitely, these next two slides, definitely don't have time to spend. Better watch my time here. Again, that's part of the reason I put these up here. So I kind of picked out two particular phrases that I think kind of sum up these next two slides. Go ahead and do the next one. Yeah, stiffen their neck. Jeremiah, four passages from Jeremiah, and then one from Zechariah. Of course, the prophets, when they came to convince the people that they need to turn back to God, that's exactly what they were doing. And you can kind of, if I had the time, what I'd have you do is maybe underline what were some of those things that caused people to have their necks stiffened. They didn't obey. If you kind of go through there, walked on their own counsels, their stubbornness, moved backward instead of forward, did not listen or incline their ear. What else as you go through there? Of course, the Lord kept sending prophets to tell them. It goes back to repetition. I think, was that you, Ron, that said repetition earlier? Did not turn from evil. They kept offering to other gods. And then the last one there, of course, the stubborn shoulder again. They stopped their ears. So that idea of stiffen their neck, I thought I had it up here. If you entered stiffened your neck in the Google, as they say, Well, that's interesting. Sometimes you can enter one time and something else comes up. Let's see if I get it where I had it before. Okay, here we go. That time what came up was your stiff neck, but says, what does the Bible say about being stiff-necked? It says to be obstinate, difficult to lead. And that's what came to my mind when I thought of the word coachable. When we think about coachable, we think of someone that's an important quality for athletes to have, to be coachable. But it's also very important for us, a quality for us to have, is to be coachable, which just simply means we allow God to direct us in the way that we should be directed. We go in the way that God intends for us to go. So we're not, of course, stubborn is a key word. Pride would be a key word that kind of goes with that as well. So think about that as we go through these passages and the next slide of passages too. Go ahead and go to the next slide. Another phrase that came to my mind from one of these, or came out of one of these scriptures, says, you cannot bear to hear my word. In fact, that's John 8:43. Jesus says, why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. So again, those two groups of people, of course, the disciples were trying to listen to what Jesus was teaching, but then there's a whole group of other people that were not. And basically, it came down to they just wanted to do things their way, didn't it? If you kind of summed it up, it came down to pride, came down to stubbornness, that stiffened neck that we referred to early. But look through these passages as well. Of course, the first one's related to Saul, if you recall. Thought that was interesting in terms of hearing that Samuel pointed out to Saul when he didn't obey God. And then, of course, some passages from Proverbs. Again, I would have you focus on those key words that were related. Didn't listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to instructors. Wicked lips, of course, involving sin, of course, keeps us from hearing God. A liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. Closing the ear to the cry of the poor. And then the last one there, when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. So that goes back to what we said earlier about how we hear. We basically want to listen to those that kind of line up with our thinking. So then that leads us to our next couple of slides. What kind of thinking do we want to have? When you recognize who God is, that's who we want to listen to. That's who we want to hear. And we want to apply our heart. Two phrases here I want us to finish up with. We're going to get a bell here in a couple minutes, and that gives me just a few more minutes. But apply your heart is a phrase that comes out of some of these passages. So look through these. A wise son, and I do want to try to go through, I think we have time to go through these. A wise son hears his father's instruction. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. Of course, all passages from Proverbs, all related to the God that we want to apply our heart to, that we want to listen to and hear to. And then from Matthew, what I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. When we're hearing what God has to say for us, not only is it the God that we should be listening to, but what he's telling us should be something that we're letting other people know through the lives that we live, through any opportunity that we get to share that with others, that we've got some great things, of course, to tell other people. So, you know, we come together for Sunday morning Bible class to learn about God's Word, but I encourage you, encourage us, pray for us this week to be able to tell others what a great, great thing that we have to tell other people because of who God is. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. As the church began, when they were told not to, of course, their response was, but we cannot but speak of what we've seen and heard. And then Romans, and how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard, and how are they to hear without some preaching, without someone preaching? So think about those thoughts as we apply our heart to God's knowledge and his wisdom. And then as we conclude, of course, we finish up as we did last week with Christ. A phrase I liked the best from Scripture, I stand at the door and knock. And I do want to go through these. We have time, I think. But your eye shall see your teacher. This is from Isaiah. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. So we recognize the teacher, capital T. And when we do that, we're listening for what he says. He's telling us. Your ears shall hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it. So when we hear our teacher saying how to walk, let us listen to that. And then from Luke, everyone who comes to me and hears my word and does them, of course this is related to one of the parables, I will show you what he is like. Of course, it talks about building a house on the foundation, and then of course the one who hears and does not do them and what he is like. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. And we're going to get into that more next week as we focus on the word understand and believe as we see and hear. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. I think if you only took one thing from this lesson this morning, that would probably be it. Our hearing comes from the word of Christ. That's what we should all be focused on, is his word. And then finally, that phrase that I like, where it came from, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. So as we move on to understand next week and to turn the week after, that's going to be that idea of turn. When we hear Jesus knock, what do we do? Hopefully we open the door. Greeley? Good. We need to get into the Word and let the Word get into us. And that's why I so appreciate you all being here this morning for our Bible class. Anytime we study God's Word, we will be blessed by it, not because of anything I've done or the teacher up here, but like what Greeley just said, you let the Word get into you. Focus on what God is saying, what Christ is saying to us as he lived this life here on this earth, and that's what we need to focus on. And of course, without a Bible study, without your daily study individually, you won't be able to do that. And I think what happens if we don't study like we should, all those things that we start to listen to get in the way. That's why we need to really focus on what God says to us. And just simply let him speak to us and listen to him. And then next week, we're going to talk more about understanding then. We see, we hear. Of course, one of my first questions next week will be, can you see and hear and not understand? Yeah. So we're going to focus on understanding next week. And then, of course, guess what? The question the following week is, can we see, hear, understand, and not turn? We can. You'd think that you can understand, but there's one more step. It's got to change our lives. We've got to turn and make a difference in how we live and the choices that we make based on what we understand. I remember Bill telling me about a person he talked to who was just kind of like that. He acknowledged God's word and even had an understanding of it, but just didn't make that change, didn't make that turn. So that's what we'll do then the week after that. So back, I think, did we kind of... course, if we'd had more time, we'd gotten back to our guiding questions. But you ask yourself what keeps you from hearing and listening to God's Word. And then think about, just like Greeley said, just let the Word dwell in us. And we can't do that unless we know the Word. So again, thanks for being here to help us know a little bit more. Continue to come each time class is presented. That's why it's also important you give us some of that input on our upcoming classes so we can offer those classes that help you do just that. But daily, make an effort, encourage you, make time to study. Even if it's just a daily Bible reading, to think about those words that we have each day in our daily Bible reading. But study God's Word. Hear what He has to say. Thanks again for coming. Let's get ready for our worship time now.